Hey singers, my name is Jeff Mathena. I'm a vocal coach in Nashville, Tennessee and founder of The Unhindered Voice. And it's Sunday morning, I'm on my way to worship rehearsal. And I figured I would make a quick video to give you some vocal tips on how to warm up on Sunday morning. This is one of those topics that I hear from, that I hear about over and over and over again with worship leaders struggling. How in the world do I get my voice to warm up early in the morning? Well, the first tip that I would give you is to get your blood moving. So your vocal cords are made of soft tissue, very similar to muscle fiber. They need blood flow in order to warm up, but they're not big enough to call blood flow throughout your entire body. So I always tell people to, you know, do some push-ups, do some jumping jacks, march in place, something like that, as soon as possible once you wake up in the morning. You know, I typically do it before, like, I get in the shower. I'll do something for just 60 seconds, or even better would be go for a 10 or 20 minute walk around your neighborhood or something like that if you can, because then you can gather your thoughts, you can get your blood moving. That's going to make your warm-up way more effective. You can warm up, do vocal warm-ups all day long, and if your blood is not moving, your voice will not warm up. The second tip I would give you is to be patient. So I used to fall into this trap that I thought if I just warmed up harder or warmed up louder, that would enable me to warm up faster. And what that actually ends up doing is, you know, because you're pushing your voice to do things it's not really ready to do, you end up straining during your warm-up, and then you set that pattern for the rest of the day. So what I've really learned to do is I'll go into worship rehearsal not being completely warm. Sometimes I'll even go into that first service not being completely warm, and I figured out a way to kind of allow my voice to continue warming up as I'm singing the songs that I need to sing on Sunday morning. And then that leads me to my third tip, and then we're going to get into some actual exercises. The third tip is that, you know, don't try to correct your technique on Sunday morning. If you think about like a professional athlete getting ready for a basketball game, they're not learning the game of basketball as they're warming up prior to the game. When they're working on their shot and doing dribble drills and everything, what they're doing is reminding themselves of things that they've already learned. And yet I think that there are a lot of singers that don't even think about what their voice is doing Monday through Saturday, and then on Sunday morning it's all of a sudden like, okay, I need to do these exercises and learn how to sing, learn how to hit these high notes for the first time. So you need to put in the work Monday through Saturday and then just remind yourself of what you learned Monday through Saturday when you are warming up on Sunday morning. Okay, so now to my favorite exercises. There are some Sunday mornings when the only warm-up that I want to do is lip rolls. If you don't know what lip rolls are, typically you take two hands and you lift up on your cheeks like this and say like that. When you're driving, you need to at least have one hand on the steering wheel, and so I like to use my thumb and my middle finger and do this and say. Now here's the thing. A lot of people struggle with lip rolls because there's such a lack of balance in the way that they produce tone. So for example, if I go, there's tons of airflow that I'm pushing out of my mouth. And the goal of lip rolls is, you know, if you imagine you have your lungs, you have your vocal cords here, the vocal cords are oscillating hundreds of times per second as air passes through them. And then the air, that sound and the airflow is being carried up into your head, which is the resonating body of the instrument. It's kind of like a woodwind instrument in that regard. If you think about a clarinet, you have your airflow, you have the reed that produces the tone, and then you have the resonating body of the instrument. So this is your resonating body. And the airflow can go basically one of two places. It can go out the mouth or it can go into the nasal cavity. And when you are just blowing all of your air out of your mouth, like that, you're missing the point. You're missing the benefit of the exercise. So the point of the exercise actually is to make it easier for that sound to travel up into your nasal cavity, allow that airflow to travel up into the nasal cavity. So you might actually feel like you're holding your breath. You might feel like when you're doing lip rolls properly, you have kind of this downward pressure, like you're doing that kind of thing. And instead of, you're gonna go, not very much airflow, hardly any weight at all, and very balanced tone all the way throughout your vocal range. And there are some mornings when all I wanna do is say, and see how what I'm doing is essentially stretching my vocal cords. I'm vocalizing, I'm getting that resonance to shift, and I'm stretching the vocal cords. And there are some mornings where, you know, the second exercise I typically go to is humming. I just take a melody, an easy melody that's within my reach at any given moment, and we'll hum and kind of practice keeping that sound forward. Oh, hello, little video issue here. You know, I'll practice keeping that sound forward. And there's some mornings when my voice just doesn't want to do it. All my voice wants to do is lip rolls. You know, you gotta become good at lip rolls to begin with. And then you need to be patient with your voice. And what that means is, as you're doing lip rolls, or even as you're humming these songs, and you're about to walk in rehearsal, don't all of a sudden think that, you know, panic and think that, gosh, I need to move on to something else that's more useful. Like I said, there are some times that I do lip rolls all the way straight into the morning rehearsal, and it always ends up being the best thing for my voice, because I'm reinforcing all of those good principles. So, you know, to recap, I want you to get your blood flow moving. I want you to be patient. Make sure that you are learning your technique Monday through Saturday rather than trying to learn everything on Sunday morning. Focus on learning how to do lip rolls well Monday through Saturday so that you can rely on them on Sunday morning. Do them as long as that's what your voice wants to do on Sunday morning, and then move to just a simple hum. And when you are humming, by the way, the whole point, the reason that humming is, you know, it seems simple enough, but the reason it's helpful is because it is enabling you to keep the sound forward. So if you do this for me real quick, go mmm, you should feel, or for ladies, if you're a little bit higher, mmm, you should feel buzz on your lips and on your nose and, you know, even behind your, like on your forehead or behind your eyes. And what'll happen when you start straining is all of that sound will go into your throat. And instead of going mmm, you'll go mmm, like that. And when you get to uncomfortable notes, all of your conscious energy typically goes to the fact that it's uncomfortable rather than the fact that the sound is moving into your throat. Remember, I just said that the head is the resonating body for the instrument. So when you're humming, it just provides this really easy opportunity to kind of keep in mind what the sound is doing. So, or to be aware of what the sound is doing, rather. So after I finish lip rolls, I typically just go to humming a five-tone scale and go in my chest voice and say, hmm. Or you can start from the top. And from there, I'll start humming maybe one of the songs, like the verse to a song that I have to sing that day. And again, it's not, the point of your warm-up is not to prove to yourself that you're gonna be able to pull those songs off today. The point of the warm-up is to get blood flow moving and to remind your voice of healthy habits. And those the healthiest habits, most important habits are that resonance is gonna shift into your nasal cavity, i.e. what's going on with the lip rolls, that the airflow is gonna be balanced, also lip rolls, that sound is gonna be forward and up out of your throat, which is what humming is great for. And so if you can implement all of those steps, I think that's gonna be a major improvement for a lot of you out there. And if you wanna get deeper than that, really what you need to do is get a customized warm-up that's tailored to your voice, or even listen to, you know, I have a podcast called the Unhindered Voice Podcast that has warm-ups, a bunch of warm-ups for men and for women that you can go through. But you don't always have time for that. Not everybody has a custom-made warm-up, or not everybody has time to go through a podcast on Sunday morning. And so know that all of these tips are things that you can implement on the fly, and you can do while you're driving, like I'm doing right now, and it will set your voice up to be more successful on Sunday morning. So happy singing, happy worship leading. Go do good work.
Did you learn anything? You say to yourself, why in the world did we have to learn that? Yeah, how many are wondering that? Well, do you know he mentioned about athletes? Athletes prepare themselves before a big game. I like going early to watch the athletes warm up, especially during those times when I was coaching basketball and soccer. I wanted to learn how other teams warmed up, because I realized that in every game, if they don't warm up, which when I started out, I didn't know the principles behind the warm-ups, nor did I realize how important they were to the body. To get yourself ready for the big game, you always, even the professionals, if you went early, the professionals are warming up their muscles. We were getting ready to walk. My wife and I were getting ready to walk at the Air Center, and I took some time to stretch my muscles. When you're coaching, you realize the muscles that are important to you. Also realize that it's just not as an athlete, the preparation that an athlete goes through before he goes to perform is important to him. But you learn that even for those that are singing, this particular fellow is a vocal coach. He does several well-known, including Kerry Job, vocalist worship leaders. He, Elevation Church, have hired him to help the vocal team there. He's a professional at what he does, and he helps people get themselves ready to sing. I know we're not professional. I totally get that. But there are some things that helped us. When we were singing years ago, we had about 160 voice choir in high school, and our instructor and our conductor was a man that not only sang a lot of barbershop quartets, but he was a singer and a leader in several choirs, and our choir was just one. But he taught us a little bit. Actually, throughout the years, I've had people ask me, have you had vocal training? Well, no, I just had really good instructors. And matter of fact, I was getting ready to, I wanted some vocal instruction. There was a teacher who was in London, Ontario. And before you saw him, you saw a couple of students of his. You had to audition in order to get in his class. I did make the audition. I just found that the classes were really expensive. But that's as close as I got to having vocal lessons. You say, Pastor Ron, what does this have to do with what we're doing here this morning? Well, I was interested in Wilma's song, There Is a River. Remember, I made the comment, do you feel all clogged up? We happen to have a washing machine that's new to us. It's one of those front-loading washing machines. And my wife was telling me at the time that there was some water that would stay. It didn't seem to want to cycle through it and do the cycles properly on certain runs, and it was becoming more of a nuisance and a pain to her. And so I said to her, well, just call the repairman. When I heard how much the repairman cost, I said, I'll try and figure it out myself. And so we went on YouTube and we saw some of the videos and discovered that my wife and I could work together and try and unclog this device that was supposed to stop stuff from getting into the motor of this front-loading washing machine that I knew very little about. I am not. Don't call me if your appliance goes bad. I am not an appliance guy. But anyway, we went on YouTube and found how you do it. And what they told us was there's a front door that comes out with a couple screws that comes out at the bottom. Mine didn't have the little drawer, the little door that pops out. We had to pop open the front end of this thing. And she had to hold it open so I could maneuver this thing. Anyway, long story short, we found a $10 bill and a $5 bill and some change locked in this little filter. No wonder it wasn't working. It was clogged up. Now that it's unclogged and all the, actually there was some paper in there and there was actually a little piece of a rag that was in there, I couldn't believe how much stuff was in there. It was a project to put this, to take the stuff out and then to put it back together and not have any screws left over. But it works wonderful now. It works like a new machine. You know, God created us in His image. He did not create us all clogged up. But when Adam and Eve sinned, things got clogged up. They needed somebody a lot bigger than themselves, more knowledgeable than themselves, to come and to pay the price so that we could get all unclogged. So earlier in the week, I watched this video, and it was actually inspiration for our message this morning. Because I begin to ask myself the question, if sometimes we are all clogged up because of some of the stuff that we've been through in the week and people, they will do things and sometimes people will offend us unknowingly or knowingly, and sometimes there's stuff that clogs us up. And I begin to ask myself, if a vocal coach is teaching people how to warm up their muscles so that they can sing, worship leaders, does this a lot with worship leaders, they can teach them how to sing. If an athlete goes through various kinds of warm-ups in order to perform at a higher level, I begin to ask myself the question, what do I do to prepare myself for the presence of God? Have you thought about it? We are in our homes. We get up in the morning. For the guys, we shave and fix ourselves up, and the ladies fix their hair. We prepare ourselves to come to church. What happens if you happen to have an argument with your wife or kids? What happens? And then you walk in the door, and your face is all nice and you're smiling. But you know there's something that's clogged it up a little bit. See, the heart is really deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Yet, when we come to God, the Bible says that we come with clean hands and a pure heart. We've never been coached how to get that heart right. We just come into church as if everything's okay, and maybe everything is. But I have to ask myself, what do I do to prepare myself for the presence of God? Do I expect Him to be here when I arrive? Do I expect him to be with me in the car while I'm driving? He's preparing himself while he's in his car. Just a thought. We come in and we have coffee and we laugh and some tell jokes and those kind of things. And I'm not diminishing that. Those are all nice and necessary in our fellowship with one another. But what do we do to prepare ourselves to meet with Almighty God? Oh, you say, Pastor Ron, we sing. Oh, okay. That gets you in a different attitude, does it? But does it change you inside? Is there anything that we can do? When Shannon read Psalm 100, shout with joy to the Lord. Are you ready for that when you come into church, to shout with joy to the Lord? Come before him with singing with joy, worshiping the Lord with gladness. How do we do that? Pastor Ron, you don't know what I've been through this morning. I have an idea. I live life too. I cut, I bleed, I do all that, just like everybody else. I have to have something. I love it when I get here early and I have some time just to kind of sit for a moment or walk through the sanctuary as we often do each Sunday morning. Quiets my heart. My heart is necessary. It has to be clean. We are serving an almighty and all-knowing God. We come in here as we wish. We desire the songs. We wish that there are some of those songs that we would sing that are, we could know a little more, and that we just can't praise the Lord enough because we may not know the song. Or I didn't wear the right color shirt. Or, there's all kinds of stuff that gets on us when we come to church. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Can I do that? Just a question. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to make you feel low or unworthy or anything else. I'm just asking a question. What is it that we do to get ourselves ready to meet God in the place? In Exodus chapter 19, it's quite a scripture. After breaking camp, they come to the wilderness of Sinai. And in that wilderness, there's a Mount Sinai. The children of Israel have been in Egypt as slaves for 400 years. They are in the wilderness and they are at the base of Mount Sinai. In verse 3 of chapter 19, then Moses climbed the mountain to appear before God. The Lord called to him from the mountain and said, give these instructions to the family of Jacob. Announce it to the descendants of Israel. Verse 4, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Verse 5, now if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples on earth, for all the earth belongs to me. And you will be my kingdom of priests. Everyone say kingdom, priest, kingdom of priests. Do you see yourself as a kingdom, as being part of the kingdom of God, as being priests? And my holy nation. This is my message you must give to the people of Israel. So Moses returned from the mountain and called together the elders of the people and told them everything the Lord had commanded him. And all the people responded together, we will do everything the Lord has commanded. That's quite a response, isn't it? So Moses brought the people's answer back to the Lord as if God didn't already hear it. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will come to you. Isn't this interesting? I will come to you in a thick cloud. So the people themselves can hear me when I speak with you. Then they will always trust you. Moses told the Lord what the people had said. And the Lord told Moses, go down and prepare. Go down and prepare the people for my arrival. Sounds like to me there was some preparation to be done. Consecrate them today and tomorrow and have them wash their clothing. Be sure that they are ready on the third day. For on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai as all the people watch. Mark off the boundary all around the mountain. Warn the people, be careful. Do not go up the mountain or even touch its boundaries. Anyone who touches the mountain will certainly be put to death. By hand, no hand may touch the person or animal that crosses the boundary. Instead, stone them and shoot them with arrows. They must be put to death. However, with the ram's horn, when the ram's horn sounds a long blast, then the people may go up on the mountain. Notice the ram's horn. So Moses went down to the people. He consecrated them for worship. And they washed their clothes. He told them, get ready for the third day. And until then, abstain from having sexual intercourse. On the morning on the third day, thunder roared and lightning flashed and dense cloud came down on the mountain. There was a long, loud blast from the ram's horn and all the people trembled. Moses led them out from the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. And all Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had descended on it in the form of fire. The smoke billowed into the sky like smoke from a brick kiln, and the whole mountain shook violently. As the blast of the ram's horn grew louder and louder, Moses spoke and God thundered his reply. The Lord came down on the mountain on Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses climbed the mountain. And the Lord said to Moses, go back down and warn the people not to break through the boundaries to see the Lord, or they'll die. Even the priests who regularly come near to the Lord must purify themselves so that the Lord does not break out and destroy them. But Lord, Moses protested, the people cannot come up the mountain, Mount Sinai. You've already warned us. You told me, mark off a boundary all around the mountain to set it apart as being holy. But the Lord said, go down and bring Aaron back with you. In the meantime, do not let the priests or the people break through to approach the Lord, or he will break out and destroy them. So Moses went down to the people and told them what the Lord had said. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 says, then God gave the people all these instructions. I am the Lord your God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. From verses 3 to 17 of Exodus 20, God gives the commandments. In Exodus 20, verse 18, it said, the people heard the thunder and the loud blast of the ram's horn, and when they saw the flashes of lightning and the smoke billowing from the mountain, they stood at a distance, trembling with fear. And they said to Moses, you speak to us and we will listen, but don't let God speak directly to us or we die. Don't be afraid, Moses answered them. For God has come in this way to test you. The boundaries, the markers for them going up the mountain. You say, we would look on this event and we'd say, man, God's awful big. Yes, he is. I wouldn't want to go up that mountain either. I get it. It was a test, God said. It was a test for them. Because earlier, God said he desired to have a kingdom of priests. People seeing the effects and the manifestation of God would go, wow, this is too scary to me. That's when they decided, Moses, you go to God for us. He says, he's too scary of a guy. We don't want to be talking to him. Do you know there was, I was trying to think of the man's name that spoke, and he talked about in a church service how the pulpit that he was actually standing behind actually split. The pulpit that they had actually split in half because of the power of God that had come in the building. They had revival for numbers of weeks in the church. God is real, folks. He's really real. You may not be able to see him. We know the wind is real because we see the effects of the wind. How many heard the storm last night? Heard the thunder? Was there lightning? I don't know. I didn't want to get up and check it. Yes, there was lightning. See, we don't like thunder and lightning. In years gone by, we would have huge thunder and lightning storms. I remember talking to my uncle. He had come to visit us in Miramichi. The women were in the house, and my uncle and I were standing outside. And all of a sudden, there was a huge crack and a thunderbolt just on the edge of our property hit the property. And I'll tell you, we might have looked funny, but we did a dance. Okay, the both of us were scared spitless, to be honest. You see, when stuff happens, you wonder, wow, how can this be? I'm sure that is exactly how those people of that day. God has come to you in this way to test you so that your fear of him will keep you from sinning. That's what the scripture says. It wasn't that God was trying to put the fear into them, but he wanted to draw them from their sin and their stuff. You see, fear paralyzes you. Job said himself, the thing that I feared has come upon me. The people were living in sin. They were constantly having problems, trying to focus on God because they were hungry. They were out in the wilderness. They were at times, they just complained so much against Moses. And God really wanted to show himself as being merciful. And he was. He is being merciful with the people. Okay? They just didn't see it that way. You know, in James chapter 4, there says, what causes the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? Now, he's talking to Christians in James chapter 4. You want what you don't have. You scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have. But you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. And you only want what gives you pleasure. Verse 4 says, you adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate and the spirit he has placed within us should also be faithful to him. And he gives grace generously, as the scripture says. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It says, so humble yourself before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is a really good scripture for us to get a hold of. Because we think, I don't have time to look at, I've had people say to me, Pastor Ron, the devil's been attacking me today. And they go on and to tell me about what the devil's done. I don't have time to focus my attention on what the devil's doing. I am to be aware of his devices. I am to be aware of his schemes. But my focus is to be upon the Lord. Praise the Lord. And this scripture says, verse 8's key. Come close to God. Somebody said to me, well, God will just pour out of me. That's just the way he is. He just blesses me. But they forget this little scripture. Come close to God. It appears to me that there's some preparation that I must do, like the athlete, like the vocal coach was telling us. There's things that I can do that I can come close to God. I prepare my heart. David says, create in me a clean heart. What is David doing? He's getting himself for an interaction with God. When we come into the place of worship, I don't know if we really expect God to interact with us. We interact with others. But do we know that God wants to interact with us? He walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. Why is it that we don't come expecting, maybe, that God would speak to us today? And yet the Bible tells us, it says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. It goes on to say, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Undivided loyalties. We all have them. We have all of our likes. I like sports and all those kinds of things. I'm not saying that they're wrong. I'm not saying that our work is being misplaced. I'm saying that they can get out of sorts and out of alignment. And there are times that we just simply need to find a quiet place to focus, to readjust our sight, to readjust our hearts. Remember the writer, half-brother of Jesus here, he's actually writing this to believers. You know, have you ever thought about that scripture in Revelation that says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone will open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. We read that to unbelievers all the time. But that scripture, folks, was written to believers. God wants to have intimate fellowship with us. And yet we casually, I don't know, maybe it's only me, that we treat him so lightly. We call him the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Well, maybe we just need to have our attitudes adjusted. If we've had a fight with our spouse, or with our grandkids or our kids, whatever the case may be, somebody's rubbed us the wrong way. Or maybe the sun is not shining the way we would like. We wish it were sunny and nice and warm. But sometimes we complain about the weather more than we are thankful for the God who is in heaven that provided the rain and provided the sun for us. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. See, God really tried to stress, he really wanted a relationship with Israel. He wants a relationship with you. Where is your heart toward him? Are you going after him hard? As a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for the Lord. I'll tell you, the athlete performs better after he's done his exercises. The vocalist performs better after he's exercised his throat. You see, you will see God do amazing things in your life if you purpose in your heart to draw close to God so that he can draw close to you. Maybe you're really not that interested in having God close to you. But I tell you what, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me." And yet we have this insecure relationship with God that we're really not sure if he'll answer my prayer or not. We're not really sure if we really desire his precious Holy Spirit. In that, the rest of that in James, he talks about the relationship that we have with those that are around about us, and you need to read that. You'll see. And Peter talks a little bit about the importance of showing deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Dear friends, and Jude says, when you come together, build one another up in your most holy faith, praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you a few practical suggestions that may help you in your practice, in your coming into the presence of God. Maybe it might be that you just might need to sing and soften your heart a little bit on Saturday night before church. I know I could use that. Spend some time, we did last night, in reading the scripture, having the Lord soften our hearts and purifying our hearts a little bit. Maybe it's just going to bed simple, as easy, going to bed instead of staying up hours and hours and hours so that you come to church rested. You know, maybe it's getting up a little bit earlier Sunday morning. A little bit earlier Sunday morning, just so I have time to quiet my spirit before the Lord. Just to quiet your spirit. Maybe it's seeking the Lord in your car a little bit. Tuning up your voice and getting ready to sing, to worship him. Already your mind is focused on him. When you come into sanctuary, you are already seeking the Lord. And I would be interested in learning if you are finding, if you did that, to challenge yourself, if you would find any difference when you walk in here. Can you imagine several people focusing their attention on the Lord coming together? What would happen in this place? Well, you would make the difference in those minutes as to whether a visitor might sense the reality of God. The moments of going hard after God in this room would be filled with the power of God. The goal is not so that people would be impressed with us or our facility or our friendliness, but that they would fall on their face and say, "God is in this place." But that would only happen if people are taken up with God. You see. You say, "Well, what happens, Pastor, when I'm late?" Well, you can still have your time with God. Before you actually come into the sanctuary, you can have your time with God. You can become active in worship. Not as a spectator. You say, "Well, Pastor Ron, I don't always know the song." I totally get that. But my worship experience does not depend on the song that I sing. My worship experience depends on my relationship with God. That's big to me. My relationship with God. my relationship, and I've spoken a lot about this, with other people can hinder my relationship with God. But the greatest action in worship is when the heart draws near to the Lord and focuses on Him and desires Him and trusts Him and enjoys Him. Over and over again, God invites His people, come near to me. I get it. There were two guys in the Old Testament that Eve tried to bring strange fire into the presence of God. They tried to bring what they had into the presence of God. It doesn't work. Bring in our own stuff. We need to over and over again. You know, the Bible does command us to come into His presence, come near to Him boldly into His presence. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. So let us come boldly into the throne of our gracious God, and there we will receive mercy and find grace to help us in a time of need. Come boldly. How do we do that? How do we come boldly? I have a confidence that God has taken away my sin. He has removed that sin as far as the east is from the west. When I come into His presence, my heart is pure before Him. And I know that the thing that He has started in me, that He will complete that work in me. There is a difference from coming boldly into His presence and coming arrogantly. But when you look at the portion of Scripture that Shannon read, enter His gates. I don't come my way. I come His way. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise. But we must always remember that He is holy. Hebrews 7 says, the old requirements about the priesthood was set aside because it was weak and useless. For the law could never make anything perfect, but now we have confidence in a better hope through which we draw near to God. I believe God has great things for us this year. Things we have yet to experience from His power. The forms and patterns are not cast in stone. No one but God can predict what the worship here at Bethel will look like in years to come. But my prayer and my goal is that it will always involve sustained and earnest dealings with God Himself. Again, if those involved in sports work out and stretch and prepare themselves, musicians tune their instruments before a concert to prepare themselves. The vocalists are coached to warm up in their voices to prepare themselves. Then why would we give our Almighty God any less? The psalmist in Psalm 27:8 says, my heart has heard you say, Lord, come and talk with me. And my heart, the psalmist says, my heart responds to you, Lord, I'm coming. Ezekiel 11 says, and I will give them singleness of heart and put a new spirit within them. I will take away their stony, stubborn heart and give them a tender, responsive heart. Good advice is found in Job 11. If only you would prepare your heart and lift up your hands to Him in prayer. Get rid of your sin and leave all iniquity behind you. Then your face would brighten with innocence and you will be strong and free of fear. Matthew 5 verse 8 says, God blesses those who are pure in heart. In fact, they will see God. Matthew 22 says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm almost through. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music. Where are you making music? The scripture says, in your hearts. You prepare for that. Joel chapter 2 says, rend your heart, not your garments. Turn to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness. Well, and then you have a wonderful portion of scripture in the book of Acts, last scripture, that says it like this. Repent. Turn from your sin. That the times of refreshing might come. God has times of refreshing for us. Each and every time that we meet. You know. And we can think the times of refreshing will come from nice preaching. The times of refreshing will come from singing nice songs. Times of refreshing comes when people repent, humble themselves, draw close to God, so he will draw close to us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the offering that's been received. We thank you for every home that it represents. But, oh God, we come to you. I come to you. I need you every hour. I need you. Thank you for that river that flows from deep within. But I need you to unclog my inner parts. You will touch my heart. Remove the stony heart from me. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Help me, Lord, in my relationship with you to honor you in all I do. And Lord, I don't know the hearts of the people sitting here in front of me, but you do. And I simply ask that you would touch their inner core, their inner being, in the name of Jesus.